Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, action-packed episode, our shadow government. What is that? Who's in charge of our country? We dive into that with Phil Klein, and we get into the specifics of the people who have been running America from an election standpoint. We go through a lot of topics. So we go through Joe Rogan and Sanjay Gupta. We go through Mark Zuckerberg spending $420 million on our elections. We talk about the war on aspirin. We talk about Joe Biden sharing bank accounts with Hunter Biden and so much more. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our program, which I want to say, those of you that support our program, you make what we do possible. Like Alicia from Elkhorn, Nebraska. She says, may God bless you and your mission. Thank you for educating my family here in Nebraska and this country. We listen every day and pray for you to continue your work to reach everyone. Thank you so much. charliekirk.com/support. Molly from Jacksonville, Florida. Thank you. Dawn Marie from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Thank you. Gail from Norfolk, Virginia. Thank you so much for supporting us. She said, I've been in the United States military for 23 years, but you are far braver than I am. I don't know about that. I'm still active duty, so I cannot speak freely. Even if I were not, I doubt I'd be as brave as you, for I would be fearing to expose my children. I am the one wearing a uniform, but you're the one fighting for our country and for my God. You have my support, my prayers, and my unending gratitude. That really moves me, Gail. Thank you. I deeply appreciate that. And thank you for your service to our country. Just so you guys know, when you support us at charliekirk.com/support, you allow us to expand. You allow us to acquire more listeners. You allow us to edit more videos, do two podcasts today, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. So it's one thing if I said, hey, please support us because we want to keep things as they are. That is true. But we want to expand. We want to have an offensive mindset. We want to hire more staff. We want to get to a place where millions of young people walking around are hearing what we're talking about how there is a God who loves them, that there is a country that they should be proud of, America that they live in. And that's all made possible by charliekirk.com/support to get behind what we are doing. And I'm deeply thankful, truly. I've been meeting some of our listeners and our supporters as I have been traveling the country doing our campus tour, and at charliekirk.com/support, you can all play a very important role in doing that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com, and three announcements when it comes to Turning Point USA. Number one, if you are a student, high school student or college student, or a parent with a student in your life, encourage them to get involved with Turning Point USA and start a high school or a college chapter today at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. So a high school chapter or a college chapter. Number two, we still have some campus tour stops coming up. Coming to Vermont, going to University of Oregon, Boise State University, Clemson, Alabama, and University of Arizona. Go to tpusa.com/CRT. That's tpusa.com/CRT to check it out today. And the big announcement that we have coming December 18, 19, 2021 is America Fest, the biggest conservative event in America at tpusa.com/amfest. That's tpusa.com/amfest, tpusa.com/amfest. We will see you in Phoenix, Arizona this December. You guys will love it. It is going to be fun, energetic, optimistic. It's going to be terrific. tpusa.com/amfest. Thank you again for supporting us, everybody. charliekirk.com/support. Important episode, everybody. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Okay, I want to open up with this question, and then I want to zero in on a specific. And later in the show, we have Phil Klein coming on. Phil Klein from the Amistad Project to add even more detail to the Zuckerberg controversy, $420 million, $419.5 million to be exact, that was pumped into inner cities in a corrupt way to benefit Democrat politicians. And we went through that in great detail yesterday. In fact, that podcast is now posted on the Charlie Kirk Show podcast page. I think we led with that story before anybody else. We covered it back in February. We covered it in March. I've mentioned it. But the new revelation, though, thanks to the Federalist, which was kind of why this got resurfaced, was how the allocation of the funding was done in a partisan nature beyond anything we could have ever possibly imagined. So we have Phil Klein, former Attorney General of Kansas, coming on the show in just a couple segments here. And we can count on that. But I want to ask this question. Is anything going well for the regime? Is anything going the way they wanted it to? Now, that's an interesting question, because if you think their intention is to collapse the country, which I believe their intention is to collapse the country, maybe things are going as planned. But from an observation of, are you objectively improving the lives of Americans and making it easier to have a middle-class lifestyle or have a family, is anything going well? Well, the one issue that keeps on surfacing, and we've covered this in pretty good detail, is the supply chain issue. You know, Biden has always wanted a boat parade. Well, he got one outside of the port of Los Angeles, where there are hundreds of boats of cargo ship containers that are waiting to be offloaded. Okay, let's go to cut 61 then of Jen Psaki saying, we cannot guarantee Americans will receive their Christmas presents on time. Cut 61.
Based on everything being announced today,
yeah,
can this administration guarantee that holiday packages will arrive on time?
We are not the Postal Service or UPS or FedEx. We cannot guarantee.
Yeah, we don't work. I mean, it's not like we're in charge. I mean, come on. It's like we're the president. You know what we do? We go investigate moms and dads that dare speak out at school board meetings. By the way, we just found out Turning Point USA school board watch list was part of the National School Board Association's letter that was sent to the Department of Justice, and Merrick Garland then wants to use the Patriot Act, DHS, and FBI to come after moms and dads, and I guess also our school board watch list as well. Rental cars are 43% more expensive than last September. Gas is 42% more expensive. Used cars, 24% more expensive. Now, I had a meeting with some people back in June, and I said, hey, I'm telling you, cars are about to get a lot more expensive. Oh, Charlie, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, there's a microchip shortage for cars. And this was widely reported. If you actually read foreign news and you read Japanese news, where in a very bizarre way, two of the plants that create microchips for cars, they both kind of melted down. Kind of weird. We should actually go deeper into that story. It's very interesting. So cars are extremely expensive. Bacon is 19% more expensive. That's the real tragedy, isn't it? Hotels, 18% more expensive. Pork, 13% more expensive. Eggs, 13% more expensive. TVs, 13% more expensive. Kids' shoes, 12% more expensive. Furniture, 11% more expensive. New cars, 9% more expensive. Chicken, 8% more expensive. Apples, 8% more expensive. Restaurant prices on average are 5% more expensive. Electricity, 5% more expensive. And a new story out of Chicago says that heating your home in Chicago might be 50% more expensive this winter, and rent is up at least 3%. Producer price inflation hits new record high and pricing pressures near 70s peak. Meanwhile, the cartel that runs Washington, D.C. and the kingdom of Washington, D.C., they want to spend another $4.7 trillion that we do not have to further indebt our country to only exacerbate the long-term inflation and debt cycle. And so then we have, on top of that, Biden, who is finally commenting on the supply chain crisis that is happening of importing products into our country. Now, the easy and the simple way to diagnose the supply chain crisis is we should not import so many products and goods and services from overseas. We need a self-sufficiency agenda to make things here. I think that if President Trump would have articulated legislatively and politically a self-sufficiency agenda in 2020 and introduced pieces of legislation to reflect that, saying we want things to come back to America. We want vitamin C, penicillin, PPE products, all to be made here in America. That would have been widely popular. So how bad is the cargo ship backup? Cut 63.
You know, this is both a symbol of success and failure, really, right? It's a sign of a strong economic rebound, but also our failure to plan for it. For instance, you know, paying people not to work with unemployment, expanded benefits when we had 537,000 job openings in transportation and warehouses. But the point is, Harris, you know, for Christmas, you may not get what you want, when you want it, what you want to pay for it, because why? It's out here with me.
And so Biden's grand strategy is, hey, let's just work 24 hours. Now, I have a very simple and obvious question. You're trying to tell me our ports don't work 24 hours in our country? That's an incredible thing to think about. That our ports are already not working 24 hours. Biden says, don't worry, I got it solved. We're going to work around the clock. Well, yeah, what a genius solution. Cut 59.
And today we have an important announcement that will get things you buy to you, to the shelves, faster. After weeks of negotiation and working with my team and with the major union retailers and freight movers, the Port of Los Angeles announced today that it's going to begin operating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
The extended hours the administration is touting represent something less than the full around-the-clock operations that are typical of the world's most advanced cargo moving facilities. Some had already gone 24/7, like the Port of Long Beach. But we are right now on the precipice of a supply chain crisis the likes of which we have not experienced in our life. Meanwhile, we arm the Taliban with $87 billion of weaponry. We keep our border wide open. Inflation is very real. We can't get products into our country. Job numbers are completely and totally abysmal. China is going to take Taiwan at any moment. And the Biden regime is doing what exactly? Oh, they're mobilizing the Department of Justice to go after moms and dads that speak out against curriculum that they don't like, or against their young ninth graders that are getting raped by men in skirts like it happened in Loudoun County. Is anything going the way that it was planned for the regime? The war against big tech rages, but there's opportunities to fight back, one of them being SquadPod, a private communication platform built to keep your conversations private. Visit SquadPod to download SquadPod today. Invite your friends, family, classmates, or team, and take back control of your communication. Squadpod.com. Biden should send in the National Guard and fix the supply chain issue immediately. No, but instead, they're threatening to replace healthcare workers in the National Guard. Caleb, who's a great listener and a friend of the show, emailed us that freedom@charliekirk.com, and that's a very wise point. So what's going on at the supply chain issue? Is it intentional? We don't know. I think that there is an agenda to try and bring in a new type of economy into the Western world. We call it the Great Reset. It's hard to believe how incompetent and yet self-righteous this administration and this regime is. It is an awful combination of being deceitful, arrogant, and self-righteous, and also incompetent. You combine those things together, you get Pete Buttigieg. And Pete Buttigieg, who I promise you, was not developed in a laboratory just to try to be a professional technocrat and bureaucrat on the behalf of the spokespeople of the tech companies. He does what he's supposed to do. You wind him up, you input the code, and I am Pete Buttigieg, designed for the sole purpose of administering policy. He makes a joke about how it will be difficult for families to get Christmas presents this year. And that's Mayor Pete, who's now the head of the transportation department, who literally, if you ever drove through South Bend, it's like a war zone. You think it'd be like Dresden, Germany after the firebombing. There's more potholes in South Bend, Indiana than in some third world countries. Play cut 66.
So holiday expectations management, as we're looking at these supply chain issues, how bad are they going to get for Americans? And I'm talking specifically, you know, leading here into the December holidays where people are relying on getting goods, on getting presents.
Well, I think there's always been two kinds of Christmas shoppers. There's the ones who have all their list completed by Halloween, and then there's people like me who show up at the mall on Christmas Eve. If you're in that latter bucket, obviously there's going to be more challenges.
There will be challenges. And look, I actually think we might have one of the more satisfying Christmases ever, because I think the over-materialism of Christmas is awful. So I'm a little bit contrarian with this, like, they're going to steal Christmas so you don't have toys. I actually think that it diminishes the true beauty of Christmas. That's my own. The best part of Christmas is family and God incarnate Emmanuel coming to the planet and understanding that. But I'm not going to diminish the fact that some six-year-old is going to have to get some Dollar General reused toy of some sort of 1994. Like, oh yeah, we're going to reuse this. Like, okay. So I'm not trying to make light of that. I'm not. But the over-materialism of the Christmas season has always bothered me. It really has. Part of Christmas I love. I have a whole speech on this. Actually, Christmas season is going to be here before we know it. It's literally like after Halloween, all of a sudden you start seeing lights go up. We'll talk about it when Christmas gets closer, because part of Christmas season in America is, I think, the greatest in the world, and part of it, I think, is absolutely dreadful and awful. But Pete Buttigieg, making light of this, it's his job to fix it. Regardless if you think that Christmas is over-materialistic, he's in leadership at the Department of Transportation to fix the issue. And as we go point by point here, we're starting to recognize and realize that, same with Afghanistan, same with anything consequential like the southern border, that this ruling class, they want the perks, the chauffeured cars, the title, the staff, the book deal, the cable news appearances, and the prestige of being in charge, but they do not want to take responsibility. They don't want to take ownership when things go south. When things start to go south and things start to go wrong, they don't want to do what great leaders do, what statesmen do. They lean in and fix the problem. And that's what is necessary out of people under pressure. There's a great expression, Aristotle said it, power shows the man. You want to find out who a person is, give them a bunch of power, and they're being a position of pressure, you'll find out who they are. We have a ruling class that wants all the benefits and none of the responsibility of being in charge. They are not going to fix the supply chain issue. It's not going to happen. Now, maybe this will be a lesson that we should do American manufacturing here, that maybe we shouldn't have piles of plastic from Wuhan, China. Maybe we should make vitamin C, vitamin D, penicillin, Tylenol, Advil, and aspirin here in America that the profit margin seeking, penny pinching corporate hacks that destroyed American manufacturing to try to get pennies on a dollar, mostly from who? McKinsey and Company. Where did Pete Buttigieg work before he was mayor? He's a McKinsey guy. Because this whole supply chain issue is brought to you by the consultant class of the paper pusher chart administration people. By the chart administration, I'll kind of give you what I mean by that, of the McKinsey ruling class of people that have never actually been in the manufacturing plants, actually ever unloaded a container off a shipping port, but they're the ones that have redesigned the entire global supply chain to try to find better profit margins when it destroys our national sovereignty and the betterment of the American way of life. The real estate market is extremely hot right now. People are taking advantage of low interest rates, economic uncertainty by investing in real assets. Whether you are a first-time buyer or just looking to make a change, the key is to getting the property you want is being pre-qualified and having cash in hand. That's why you guys, all of us, myself included, I had to stop doing this. I had to stop using the big banks. I used a big bank for a loan previously. It was a disaster. It took forever. Not to mention, I go look at their score on secondvote.com. Like, wow. My loan helped fund abortions, BLM Incorporated, burning down of Wendy's, the destruction of our society. I'm done with it. Then I met Andrew and Todd. Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian, who have become great friends of mine, andrewandtodd.com. They are with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. My producer, Andrew, he's working with them right now, and he tells me they are part counselors, part financial planners, and they're really helping them, and I'm about to use them for something. I've been so impressed by them. But they are bankers, not brokers. That means that they can start and help you. They can help you start to finish. But quite honestly, let's divest and take all of our money out of these woke banks. So maybe you're buying a new home. Maybe you're refinancing. Whatever process you're going through, just fill out a couple simple questions online at andrewandtodd.com. They can assess your situation right over the phone. Go to andrewandtodd.com or call 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. Even if you have a friend who's buying a home, I'm sure every single person knows someone that's buying a home. Just put your arm around them and say, hey, go to andrewandtodd.com. Charlie Kirk speaks favorably of them. Here's what I can guarantee with andrewandtodd.com. Zero of the proceeds will go to fund abortion. Zero will go to fund BLM. Zero will go to fund the woke industrial complex instead. Andrew and Todd, they support shows like ours. They want to help patriots, Christians, and people that love their country and love the Lord take out loans and do it correctly. So go to andrewandtodd.com, call 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. AndrewandTodd.com. Support the good guys and stop supporting companies and banks that hate you. The banks have waged war on our values. Time to say sayonara, vaya con Dios, alvita sane. I'll be going to andrewandtodd.com. With us right now is Phil Klein from the Amistad Project, friend of mine. He's doing a great job, director of the Amistad Project, and he has been on this issue for quite some time of Mark Zuckerberg purchasing the 2020 election. Phil, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Thank you, Charlie. Great to be with you, sir.
So I'm sure as, and I just want to give you some credit and the applause that, and the praise you deserve. You have been, you were on the Zuckerberg thing from the very beginning, exposing the Center for Technology and Civic Life, spending $420 million. And walk us through, for everybody listening, kind of the unprecedented nature of the private nonprofit getting into a public administration of elections, and then we'll get into some of the specifics.
You bet. What happened essentially is that leftist billionaires came together, and now through our investigation and litigation, we've identified more than $1 billion of resources and monies to purchase the inner city, the core inner city election offices that are supposed to run the elections objectively. And instead, they bought them. They dictated policy, and they turned them into Biden for president campaign turnout centers, where they operated much like a campaign, using the same tactics, the same information to go get voters and bring them to the polls for Biden. And it's like this, Charlie. When you go to a baseball game, you don't allow one side to stuff the umpire's pocket with money to call balls and strikes a certain way. Well, that happened in America in the 2020 election, and it was wrong. We believe it's illegal, and now we're battling directly in there trying to get the records to prove it.
And Phil, you said this early on, but it seems that the article written yesterday in The Federalist confirmed this, because early on, the Center for Technology and Civic Life defended themselves by saying, no, this was an equal distribution of funds. We didn't favor Democrats. But the article yesterday in The Federalist, and I know you've been saying this, so the coupled together shows that that's not the case, that this was partisan in nature. This was $420 million spent through nonpartisan entities to actually try and change the way we do elections permanently.
Yes, I'll just give you a couple of examples from our investigation and litigation. $47 per voter in Green Bay to turn out votes in a strong Democrat stronghold. And out in the remainder of the state, it was about $7 a voter. The top 25 grants of CTCL amounting to $75 million went to Democrat strongholds. I would encourage your viewers and listeners to go to www.AmericanVotersAlliance.org. They're affiliated with us, and you can click on the 2020 election, and you'll see charts and graphs detailing this use of funds. And I want to mention, Charlie, it's great to see this attention. You know, the New York Post article only captures a snippet of it. It's much bigger than Zuckerberg. The total amount of money is much bigger than Zuckerberg's money. And there are dozens of nonprofits that ran a shadow government that operated the election for the benefit of Biden.
Can you give us some specifics on that? Because if you're saying it's $1 billion, then Zuckerberg's $419.5 million is not even half.
Yeah, you've got Omid Yar, you know, the founder of Twitter. You've got George Soros. You've got nonprofits that include many of the nonprofits you see quoted in the paper right now. They have scores of nonprofits that they create and they trademark through a group called the Arabella Fund. And what they do is to make it difficult for you to follow them. They will collapse a nonprofit after the election, get a new pop-up nonprofit, move over the talent, put in new money, and now they're the election experts that are commenting on what happened in 2020. The Center for Election Crisis is a leftist organization that popped up right after the 2020 election. So they have moved. And honestly, I could send you a spreadsheet. This is going to stun you. of 785 leftist nonprofits that helped operate the 2020 election and now are getting ready to operate the 2022 election.
So let me make sure, you said the term shadow government. I want to make sure everyone understands that, that while you have the public administration of elections, there's a $1 billion ecosystem and infrastructure of 785 nonprofits that operate and colluded together to actually permanently change the way we do elections, how we count ballots, and who counts the ballots. This is new information, Phil, that we haven't even talked about before when you've joined. And so can you build that out even further for our audience? Because this is hard for people to believe. Give an example. Say, hey, because some people say, okay, well, we spend money on politics all the time. Talk about how this is different, Phil, about how they're going into cities and they're actually hiring the election workers themselves. It's never happened before.
That's right. You know, your election workers, and I think it's important to kind of drill down, Charlie, so that people know what they're doing, and then they can see the potential for conducting a fraudulent election when you know the power of those in the counting room. I'll just take you to Wayne County, Michigan, for example, where there was Zucker boxes, Zucker money directed directly into Wayne County. In Wayne County, they consolidated the counting center into one giant room. They said they did that because of COVID, but they have 134 tables of different precincts that are looking at ballots. Now, in Michigan, the Secretary of State mailed the absentee ballots for the military on the wrong paper. She says it was a mistake. She's a Democrat. But in any event, those ballots came back. And when they're fed into the counting machine, the paper is weak, so it crumples up. Therefore, at those 134 tables, there are election officials who are supposed to take that crumpled up ballot, get a new ballot on the right paper, read the crumpled up ballot, and then actually cast the vote for the voter who's not there based on what that crumpled up ballot is. So they will say, oh, that looks like a Biden vote. They'll color it in and they'll go down the line. Then they cast it and it's counted and the crumpled up paper is separated. So in other words, you have people casting votes for people who aren't there. So Michigan law requires a Republican and a Democrat to both be there and sign off. Well, guess what they did in Wayne County? They didn't have Republicans at any of those tables. Instead, they had a Republican who was separated because of COVID in the cheap seats, couldn't see what was happening at the table, and they said, well, we've complied with the law. Those officials who made that decision were paid by Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg paid for the consolidation of the facility. Zuckerberg paid for the people who boarded up the windows and didn't allow people in. You go to Philadelphia. Zuckerberg paid the election judges, the people who separated Republican poll watchers from being able to see what happened. He paid for the machines that counted the ballots. He put a Zucker box, one every 4 square miles, in Democrat stronghold, so you could walk out the door and practically vote. That's 2 miles by 2 miles square. In the 59 counties that President Trump won, there was one Zucker box for every 1,159 square miles. So you've got that going on. On top of that, you have Democrat elected officials in these swing states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, who are shutting down in-person polling places, the preferable way for Republicans to vote, claiming COVID is a concern, while they're creating a crowd to count the ballots that allows for Republicans to be booted out and for the shenanigans to go on. This was not only funded by Zuckerberg, it was funded by other leftist billionaires. And to put it in context, the total money the federal government appropriated for the election was $400 million. This shadow government put more money, two times more money, than the federal government in the election.
So, Phil, I have so many questions. Let me ask you a simple one, and if you could stay for the next segment, that would be great. Is the shadow government still in play?
Yes, they have rechanged their names. They create these nonprofits. One of the things, Charlie, is that we have the right to see government records. So they're doing it through the nonprofits to try to prevent us from seeing, and then they will collapse a nonprofit, create a new one to make it more difficult to find what they're doing. But yes, they have reformulated. They're getting ready to go again.
I don't know where the Republican legislatures are, state legislatures, not doing hearings and investigations about this, about how you have elections that are basically just bought and paid for by billionaire oligarchs. Phil, do we see this coming from Republicans, or is this purely a left-wing type exercise to take over the public administration of elections?
It is left-wing, and it grew out of the Bush v. Gore election back in 2000, and they got together, and they were seeing the fruits of 20 years of leftist planning.
That's incredible. I just want to make sure everyone heard. There's a shadow government that is running our elections. Phil Klein, former Attorney General of Kansas, director of the Amistad Project. We're going to give all the links again so you know how to support and you know how to find out what's happening. And it's AmericanVotersAlliance.org. That is AmericanVotersAlliance.org is Phil Klein's organization. Phil has been on top of this. He was the first person to come on our program and mention Center for Technology and Civic Life and mention Mark Zuckerberg. And now it's everywhere, largely because of some of the partisan revelations. But sometimes you can't really plan when things go viral, honestly. And it just so happens New York Post wrote it up, and it is everywhere. I must have had 20 or 30 people text it to me. Charlie, did you know this? I said, you got to listen to our podcast more. Phil, how is any of this legal? How is the shadow government running our elections, constitutional, legal, and what do we do about it?
Well, we don't believe it is. And that's why we've got five lawsuits in Wisconsin right now on this issue. We got efforts in Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Michigan as it relates to it as well. There's several things. First of all, to show violations of the law about what we're speaking, we have to show intent. In other words, that they use these monies intentionally to improperly influence the election. And that takes much more litigation and much more investigation. But let me tell you, we are getting close to proving that. I'll give you just a couple of examples, Charlie. In our litigation in Wisconsin, we have evidence of this group coming in. Now, it's got several heads. There's a group called the Election Group. There's a group called the National Vote at Home Institute. There's a group called the Center for Civic Design. Then there's a Center for Economic or Election Innovation and Research and CTCL. That's just the tip of it. And they come in and they start dictating how the election is going to be run. The elections clerk in Green Bay says, this is a problem. Who are these people? Now, she identifies them as coming from Illinois. And she's saying, they don't have the right to run it. They don't know our laws. And she starts complaining to the mayor. Long and short of it, she gets booted out on the eve of the election by the mayor. And the private interests had the keys to the counting room. An individual hired by one of these nonprofits, controlled all of the keys to the counting room, got all of the passcodes to the intranet. He managed the election. We can start showing intent by that conduct. Additionally, I'll give you another example. You asked CTCL and Zuckerberg why that money was put there. It was to keep people safe. Remember that? Keep people safe. In Wisconsin, out of the millions of dollars given, 0.8%, less than 1%, went to keeping people safe. In Racine, Wisconsin, they used $250,000 to buy a Winnebago to create what they called a mobile ballot pickup unit, a mobile polling station, which is a way to harvest ballots contrary to Wisconsin law. So we can show this evidence, and we're getting closer. And right now, we're almost ready to go into the belly of it and get records relating to Zuckerberg and those affiliated.
I have so many questions. Phil, why is it that a private organization, the AmericanVotersAlliance.org, are doing this? Why aren't Republican attorney generals at least suing in civil court or investigating this? You're a former attorney general of Kansas who took on some big fights. Why is it all quiet on the Western Front?
We had a real problem in trying to get Congress to pay attention to this. during and after the election. I think some of it is all of the politics of Trump Biden rather than people trying to understand the truth. Finally, people are at least paying attention. And believe me, there was one attorney general in Louisiana who was looking at it.
Jeff Landry.
And hopefully it will spread. Yes, Jeff Landry is looking at it, and hopefully others will get involved. They should be. This is a perversion of the American electoral process.
No, he's a good man, and I encourage every attorney general, Republican or Democrat, to focus on that. Again, it's AmericanVotersAlliance.org. In 30 seconds, Phil, who runs the shadow government then?
It was some of the hangovers from Clinton, Harold Ickes, John Podesta, David Plouffe from Obama. They are all a part of it. George Soros is the primary funder, along with other tech billionaires.
Podesta, Soros, Plouffe. You got a real cast of characters there, I'll tell you.
And Harold Ickes.
Yeah, that's an all-star group if I've ever seen one. Phil, you're a good man. AmericanVotersAlliance.org. I just registered. All of you guys should do that. Appreciate it. We're going to have you back on very soon, Phil. Thank you for your perseverance and for not giving up on this. It's very admirable, and the country thanks you. Hey, everybody. There's so much going on in the world, and whether it's stuff you're excited about or things that you don't want to think about, like everything that comes out of Joe Biden's mouth, you can't always control what's going on out there. But you can control what's going on in your head as far as what you're listening to with a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears. My Raycons have traveled with me all over the country. In fact, Mikey on our team is an incredibly avid and passionate Raycon fan. In fact, this came up the other day and he just started saying, "Do you understand how good Raycon earbuds are?" And I just said, "Tell me more." It was really fascinating. I agreed, of course, because wherever you use them, they work really well. Whether you wind down, work, or work out, Raycons are my go-to and Mikey's go-to for on-the-go audio. And the new everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. With an improved rubber oil look, feel, and optimized gel tips, the perfect in-ear fit, they're impressive before you even start listening. You get three new sound profiles to make sure everything you're listening to sounds its best with just the right amount of bass. They have the pure mode, the balanced mode, and the bass mode. And there's also an all-new awareness mode where you need to listen to your surroundings around you. Maybe you're boarding a plane, and eventually, once you get on the plane, you could turn it on to kind of the total sound-out mode, but maybe you need to listen when you're boarding on the announcements. But here's the thing. Raycon offers 8 hours of playtime and 32 hours of battery life. There's also built-in mic, and you could take your calls and your earbuds at the press of a button. Raycons start at half the price of other premium and audio brands, but they sound just as good. And Raycons come with a 45-day happiness guarantee. Right now, Kirk listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Kirk. That's buyraycon.com/Kirk. At Raycons, so to save 15% off Raycons, buyraycon.com/Kirk. Joe Rogan is a good man. Joe Rogan's a fun person. I don't agree with him on everything. I have to say this every time because I get these emails from people. Charlie, how dare you? Like, what are you, Greta Thunberg? Look, Joe Rogan has a different worldview on certain things, but he loves freedom and he loves his country. He's willing to speak out about it. He has been phenomenal on the lockdowns, on the vaccine, on masks. I had a chance to meet Joe Rogan about a month ago in Los Angeles. And Joe Rogan, right when I met him, we posted on Instagram and the picture we said has ivermectin boys, and it went totally viral because you're not allowed to say that. And so Joe Rogan, of course, took ivermectin after getting the Fauci virus and made a rapid turnaround. He was smeared by the media for taking horse dewormer medication. And so CNN being one of them, and their medical expert, Sanjay Gupta, who's a very dumb person, and I'm not saying that he doesn't have credentials or he wasn't able to get through school, but here's what I mean by that. He's never actually had to have a long-form conversation with anybody on camera. It's always sound bites. And so him going into the Joe Rogan Experience, he didn't realize what he was signing up for. You see, him going into Joe Rogan Experience, and he didn't realize Joe Rogan was going to hold him accountable to that. Well, Joe Rogan's like, and there's three clips here. We want to go through all three of them. We're going to go through all of them. And Joe Rogan doesn't back down. He says, "You guys lied about me. Ivermectin is not a horse dewormer. It won a Nobel Prize. It's a miracle drug. Jimmy Carter distributed millions of pills of ivermectin to go cure river blindness in Africa. Uttar Pradesh, a province in India, has a regimen that includes ivermectin, and they are at case net zero, between 0 to 5 cases a day, and they're a province of, what, 320 million people, Connor? Uttar Pradesh in India? Nigeria has published a study that shows the positive effects of antivirals. I'm sorry, 0 to 5 deaths a day in Uttar Pradesh, not cases. 0 to 5 deaths a day. But instead, we are controlled. It's 240 million, not 300 million. Thank you. So it's 240 million, 0 to 5 deaths a day in Uttar Pradesh, India. But yet our country is controlled by Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and BioNTech. And therefore, we're not even allowed to have a conversation about ivermectin. But the few people that are free speech warriors like Joe Rogan, he does not let up. Cut 55, and then we'll go through all three cuts here. And this is, by the way, if you have not listened to this podcast discussion with Sanjay Gupta, it's incredible. Because maybe Sanjay Gupta thought that they were going to have a nice little conversation about why people need to wear masks. I don't know what he was thinking going on Joe Rogan's show. But Joe is mad, and good for Joe. Joe Rogan asked Sanjay Gupta, does it bother you that CNN lied about me? Cut 55.
Does it bother you that the news network you work for out and out lied, outright lied about me taking horse dewormer?
They shouldn't have said that.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
You didn't ask? You didn't think that was you're the medical guy over there.
I didn't ask. I should have asked before coming on your podcast.
But they did it with such glee.
No,
yes,
Joe.
They did. I watched.
Gorgeous. I want to frame that. Because Joe's, because we see this little shriveling of a weak human, Sanjay Gupta. I should have asked. I don't know. You understand that these media reporters have never been called out before? I think Sanjay Gupta was there to promote a book. I don't think it's doing very well after that. I know. I think he has a new book, like COVID War Zero or something. I really think it's called World War COVID. I think that's the name of the book. And so CNN, he's the medical guy there. And so Joe says, you're the medical guy there. What do you mean? Joe Rogan continues by applauding Tucker Carlson for having a conversation with leftists. Cut 56.
Tucker has a lot of left-wing people on, and he doesn't disparage them or criticize them or mock them. You know, he had Brett Weinstein on, who's very progressive. He has Tulsi Gabbard on. He has people on. I mean, I think he's unfairly labeled because people want to marginalize him and dismiss him immediately. I think his discussions that he has on his show are some of the most nuanced in that he is willing to have conversations with anybody. We have to figure out what's right and what's wrong, and you don't get that by just buying into the official narrative.
I just love the fact that Sanjay Gupta from CNN has to sit through a praise session of Joe Rogan talking about Tucker Carlson. And Joe Rogan doesn't give up. He's a dog with a bone, everybody. He says, wait a second. It should bother you. It's a lie on your network, and it's your conscious of. You see, Sanjay Gupta is used to the CNN way of doing things, which is, you know, kind of kid gloves. And Joe Rogan said, no. You're in the lion's den now. You see, this is a place where people have testosterone, wisdom, and patriotism. You work for CNN where none of those things exist. Play cut 57.
By the way, I'm glad you're better.
Thank you.
It only lasted a day.
You're probably the only one at CNN that's glad.
No. We're not.
The rest of them are all lying about me taking horse medication. And we should talk about that.
That bothered you.
It should bother you, too. They're lying at your network about people taking human drugs versus drugs from veterinary.
Calling it a horse dewormer is not a flattering thing.
It's a lie. It's a lie on a news network. That's a lie that they're conscious of. This is not a mistake.
Yeah.
They're unfavorably framing it as veterinary medicine.
I love it. Rarely do you see justice happen in real time. Rarely. You know, I'm a big fan of the Book of Job. And one of the things I like about the Book of Job is that it's real. It's authentic. It's kind of, why do bad things happen to good people? That's what the Book of Job is about. In the second book of Plato's Republic, it talks about justice, and it actually the narrative frames that good things happen to people that do good and bad things happen to things that do bad. And rarely do you actually ever get to see justice play out in real time. That's justice. Sanjay Gupta having to sit down for 2 hours of Joe Rogan being like, it should bother you. It's a conscious lie where you're saying that I should take a horse dewormer. And Sanjay Gupta said, man, that really bothered you. Yeah, it was the number one news story on the planet that Joe Rogan is going around to Preakness or the Kentucky Derby with his hands open asking for medication. People were wishing Joe Rogan dead. And don't give me this, oh, I'm glad you're better, Sanjay Gupta. Your whole network, you know what, actually, Connor, can you get some headlines from CNN? Type in CNN, Rogan, horse dewormer. Let's list that out. Rarely do you ever get to see justice play out in real time. And that right there is so beautiful. Because, and this is a lesson for all of you out there. Call out the liars. Call out the smear artists when you get a chance and you ever cross paths with them. Joe Rogan could have done a feel-good type interview. Yeah, World War C. You know, your wonderful new book. And so he's like, oh, you're lying about me. You wanted me dead because I took ivermectin, which is a human drug that won a Nobel Prize that Jimmy Carter distributed to people in Africa. CNN article, right-wing media pushes a deworming drug to treat COVID-19 that the FDA says is unsafe for humans. CNN medical reporting. Meanwhile, we have millions of people worldwide that have been able to protect themselves in third world countries thanks to ivermectin, azithromycin, hydroxychloroquine, aspirin, which, by the way, there is a whole new war on aspirin. So it's really funny. We come out and talk about how the new study comes out and shows that aspirin could actually lower COVID death rates, Chinese coronavirus, Fauci virus death rates. And then the next day, all of a sudden, for the first time in my lifetime, there's a war on aspirin, which is interesting. They're going to really tick off the Germans. Bayer is the biggest manufacturer of aspirin. Am I right about that? I'm telling you, not a good group of people to get angry. You do not want to tick off the German scientists. Bayer is very, very, very powerful in Europe. CNN headline. Health officials warn people not to take drug meant for livestock to ward off or treat COVID-19. CNN.com. CNN.com. Comprehensive mess. CNN fact checks dubious dewormer story. CNN's Daniel Dale breaks down the inaccuracies in the story around ivermectin. We're going to talk about the new bizarre war on aspirin, which of course is a cheap wonder drug that has saved people's lives and prevented people from having strokes and heart attacks for years. But now that it might be an effective way to actually lower death rates, new war on aspirin. Every once in a while, a coffee company comes along that changes the way we think about our morning routine. Are you looking for a conservative coffee company that shares your values of freedom and liberty and not feel like you've been thrown under the bus because of your beliefs? Minutemen Coffee is that company. Bold, smooth, and never bitter, roasted in small batches and shipped to order, Minutemen Coffee never fails to deliver on time and with the freshest roasts available. Minutemen Coffee supports our first responders, our constitutional sheriffs, and our veteran and military service women and men throughout the country of various charities. I am proud to partner with Minutemen Coffee and excited to share them with you. Minutemen Coffee subscription plans are top-notch and easy to manage on your terms. The coffee is so delicious, everybody. You won't believe it. So give them a try and use Charlie at checkout for 15% off your order. Go to MinutemenCoffee.com and get your freedom-loving coffee today. You will not be disappointed. Once you realize who's in charge and you realize that certain industries are trying to keep things in crisis so that they can make money, then all of a sudden, you'll have a better understanding of the true incentive structure. New study out of Israel. We covered this before, but we didn't cover the second part of the story. So I want to reiterate the first part of the story. New study out of Israel shows that taking aspirin, plain old aspirin, which is a blood thinner, which if you take too much aspirin, you can die, you can bleed out. So it's it. You have to manage it. Records that there's a 44% reduction in the need for a medical mechanical ventilator. Aspirin reduces ICU admissions by 43% and overall hospital mortality by 47%. The Israelis said that if you want to lower COVID death rates by half, aspirin might be a solution. So what if I told you that if we threw ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, aspirin at COVID, what would that look like? Maybe the vaccine, which is very expensive and not permanent because it wears off, wouldn't be as necessary. Well, then all these companies that run our country and also finance the Republican Party and Democrat Party, by the way, what would they do with themselves? So this study comes out about aspirin, and then interestingly enough, a couple days later, a new study comes out and pushed by our government says that aspirin is actually dangerous. Stop taking it. Nope, aspirin's bad. 30 million people take aspirin every single day in America, 30 million people, and there is now a new war on aspirin. It says in the New York Times, aspirin use to prevent first heart attack or stroke should be curtailed, U.S. panel says. 2 days after the study comes out and says that aspirin can help significantly, according to an Israel study, lower death rates. CNN.com, Sanjay Gupta's place. U.S. task force proposes adults 60 and older should not start daily aspirin to prevent heart disease or stroke. Smithsonian Magazine. Aspirin no longer recommended as a preventative measure against heart attacks and strokes in older individuals. The war on aspirin is real because it's cheap, it's widespread, it's accessible. 30 million Americans take aspirin on a daily basis. Do you realize what's going on here? First, it was hydroxychloroquine. Then it was azithromycin. Then it was ivermectin. And then all of a sudden we challenged the idea of ventilators, which actually studies show that ventilators can hurt certain patients more than help certain patients. And then this new study comes out. Oh, not to mention, by the way, steroids as well. A dose of steroids can help you with the Chinese coronavirus and Fauci virus. And I've heard horror stories of people that go to the hospitals because we've decided to fire our nurses because they don't want to take the vaccine because they know that it's actually not going to protect them. Hospitals are way understaffed. And if you go in with the Fauci virus to a hospital, you might not get the care that you actually need. According to a medical doctor that I know that runs the ER, he said every single COVID patient that I have seen that has died was vitamin D deficient. Not that everyone who's been hospitalized, but that has died. That's not a scientific study. So for the fact checkers out there in Google and Facebook, that's an anecdote from a doctor, okay? Fact check me. So vitamin D is very, very important. So is B12, by the way. Vitamin B12. And also, take care of your immune system. Exercise. Eat well. Don't drink alcohol if you're worried about having your immune system be depleted, especially in the winter. Drink lots of water. These are very basic things. And then aspirin shows that it could lower the mortality rate by 44%. 44% of mechanical ventilator, 43% of ICU admissions, overall hospital mortality by 47%. Every time there ever seems to be a solution to get us out of this thing that isn't a mask or a vaccine, why is it that the powers to be always oppose it? And why are we putting up with this anymore? I do not want to ever hear another Republican take money from Pfizer, BioNTech, AstraZeneca, Moderna, or Johnson & Johnson. If you take money from those companies, go join the Democrat Party and go be a part of the corporate class. I do not want to hear about it anymore. These companies have colluded with Fauci, CDC, NIH, Francis Collins, who's now resigning, Rochelle Walensky, CNN, the major companies, to have a taxpayer-funded scheme to keep your children masked, to get conservatives fired from their job, to get Christians expelled and expunged from the military, the records expunged, I should say. For what? Well, there's all these other compelling research and studies from very credible places that show, hey, there might be actual ways that we can reduce the death rate, reduce the case rate, and the hospitalization rate. Nope. Instead, sit down, shut up, mask your children, take the vaccine, no questions asked. Free your mind, everybody. We are going to post this aspirin story at charliekirk.com so that you could share it with your friends. Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, good friend of mine, wants to give back to our listeners. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the Radio Listeners Special. Get amazing discounts right now on MyPillow mattress toppers, towels, and so much more. For example, Mike is offering a buy one, get one free offer on Giza sheets. These are amazing. All MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Special for the buy one, get one free offer of Giza Dream Sheets. Enter promo code KIRK. Call 1-800-875-0425 for these great specials. That's 1-800-941-5493. Use promo code KIRK. Again, Mike Lindell is a great friend of mine. He's terrific. So go to MyPillow.com, radio listener special, and promo code Kirk. If you like Mike Lindell and you love what he's doing for the country, you also like our show, The Charlie Kirk Show, boom, kill two birds, one stone, MyPillow.com, buy a bunch of stuff, promo code Kirk. If you want to explain to someone on the opposition, you know, a totalitarian status in your life that is yearning to be a fascist dictator, to have tanks run through the streets, what is wrong with the country, and you want to walk through the double standards that are plaguing America, why is it that John Gruden, the former coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, have his emails combed through and have to be held accountable for them, but Fauci and Hunter Biden's emails get a total and complete pass from the media? Just repeat, just have that on repeat for the next week. John Gruden should not have resigned or fired or whatever. I'm not even a John Gruden fan. But I was just reading about the Fauci emails. I thought to myself, emails, really? Isn't that what John Gruden just got fired over? Here's some good news, though. In Iowa, the great state of, I love Iowa. It's a great state. My family's actually from Iowa. From Marshallton, Iowa. If anyone hears my voice in Iowa, Marshallton, Iowa, email me, freedom@charliekirk.com, if you are listening to my words. Some great news that developed last evening. A longtime Democrat-held Iowa seat House district has now fallen to a Republican candidate, John Dunwell, according to projections. He won roughly 60% of the vote in a special election on Tuesday. The seat, which has been held by Democrats for decades, will now be filled by a Republican for the first time since 1992. The seat became open when the incumbent Democrat representative left for a job for the Iowa Law Enforcement Academy, and Governor Kim Reynolds announced a special election. Dunwell said, "Community engagement is very important to me. Being out and among the people is very important to me. Giving everyone a seat at the table is very important to me." Now, back in 2018, the Democrat won the seat with 58% of the vote, and the Republican received 41% of the vote. Now, turnout was lower, about 20% of eligible voters, and a Republican has not held this seat for years, since 1992, since I have been alive. And Republicans have now taken this seat. The Democrats, we now see this happening in Iowa. We see this happening all over the country. And certain Democrats are now speaking out, saying that things are trending terribly for the statists, the collectivists, the fascists, the bigots, and the leftists. But I repeat myself with all of those descriptors. And Van Jones, who I've met before, he's a leftist. He was actually pleasant when I met him. I met him at the White House for a summit that was happening there. I can't say anything about his character. I don't know enough about him. He's an Obama guy. But he tends to be honest on cable television when things aren't going well. He also accuses Trump of being a racist and all this other garbage, which I can't stand. But he has come out and he has said that Biden has stepped on a rake and fallen down the stairs, and Democrats are now looking at him in a negative light. Play cut 65.
He's doing a lot of good stuff. The problem is that he put himself in a position where he made big, bold claims about the rest of the agenda. You think this great stuff that we did is good? It's nothing. Wait until this summer when you're going to get all this other stuff. And then he steps on a rake, and then he slips on a banana peel, and then he falls down the stairs with some marbles. And now people are looking at him in a negative light.
And so now you have Democrat other commentators coming out and saying that he's a political opportunist, and now the black community no longer trusts him because he's calling out Democrats. That's cut 62 of Van Jones being called out, saying, you know, the black community no longer trusts you. Cut 62.
There are those who really accuse you of being a political opportunist, a chameleon, so to speak, who provided a racial cover for a former disgraced, twice impeached President Trump. People in the black community don't trust you anymore. What is your response?
I don't think that's true.
Former disgraced, twice impeached. Is that the introduction? Yeah, Van Jones is a man of the left, but let it be known that if you dare say anything that disagrees with their dogma, that just minorly differentiates from the status quo, that's how you're going to be treated. But the Democrats know that there is a storm coming. They are losing locally. They are losing statewide. The Virginia governor's race is going to be very interesting as it's coming up with Youngkin versus Terry McAuliffe. That is a developing story that we are going to keep our eyes on. As you have Youngkin, the Republican outsider, and Terry McAuliffe, the transactional Democrat who is extremely corrupt, Clintonite, colliding. And education is the top issue right now in the state of Virginia. I want to get to a different story here, and we've talked about this, about how in the new Biden bill that thankfully has not yet been passed, they want to be able to have the ability to monitor all of your bank accounts, give the IRS a backdoor password into your bank accounts to be able to monitor your activities and to be able to spy on you. Now, the significance of this, of course, is that the IRS currently does not have that discretion. And instead of trying to say, hey, let's lower taxes for working people, the primary focus of this regime is let's expand the Internal Revenue Service, which, by the way, and so many young people don't know this name, Lois Lerner. Lois Lerner was the head of the exempt organizations of the unit of the Internal Revenue Service, who used the power of the federal government to target and to penalize conservative groups in the midst of the Tea Party movement to try and go after groups that she deemed to be rambunctious. And she still is receiving a pension. She still is being, she never was charged criminally for doing this. And the IRS was being weaponized against people that they disagreed with. Now, Lois Lerner was found in contempt of Congress. Interestingly enough, she refused to comply with a subpoena duly issued by the Committee on Oversight and Governmental Reform. Is it interesting how the Department of Justice never took up that referral for contempt of Congress and tried to press criminal charges, and now they're threatening to do the same for defied subpoenas? That's sort of interesting. But of course, Lois Lerner, she keeps receiving her pension. The IRS has been and will be used again as a financial targeting apparatus, a torpedo campaign, a government metaphorical sniper rifle against conservatives and Christians. And within the Biden Build Back Better plan was, yes, the vaccine mandate, trillions of dollars that we don't have to spend on things that don't matter to enrich the left-wing power structure to further inflate our currency and destroy the American economy, but also is giving the IRS the ability to go into your financials. Jim Jordan had some great comments on this. Let's go to Cut 58, Jim Jordan on the IRS.
I mean, Hunter took, as you said, $1 million from a Ukrainian energy company, $3 million from a Russian billionaire, $4 million from companies with ties to the Chinese Communist Party. Did all that money go in this joint account? Did 10% go to the big guy from that, you know, now famous email? Maybe the IRS could find that out if they weren't so busy checking on what my mom spent last week in her bank account. I mean, this is how goofy it gets.
Right.
Well, it's goofy. It's also Soviet. It's totalitarian in nature. And Republicans have been holding the line on the $600 transaction. But interestingly enough, why don't we have the IRS look into Hunter Biden and Joe Biden's bank account? Miranda Devine, who we've had on the Charlie Kirk Show, and I encourage all of you guys to find that episode and listen to it. It was terrific. And Miranda Devine broke the story that both Hunter and Joe Biden had a shared bank account that Hunter used to pay for prostitutes, amongst other things. And so is Joe Biden a co-conspirator in Hunter Biden's business dealings with the mayor of Moscow's wife, with the Chinese Communist Party, and of course, the New York Times? What is the New York Times talking about today? Let's see. Many Black Americans are embracing vaccines. That's what the New York Times is talking about. I do have to give them credit, actually. The New York Times did have an... Do you see this, Connor? What's on the... I do have to say this. This is very interesting. Actually, I'm not going to tease this. I did not see this story. That's interesting. This is something. So I want to play Miranda Devine, and I'm going to tell you what the New York Times is covering, because this is a thought crime that they publish, and it shows that there's some truth where they don't want there to be. Cut 73.
True. We reported it that
Joe Biden is having his maintenance for his house, his phone bill, and various other bills were being paid for by Hunter Biden. And we also know there was other mingling of finances between Joe and Hunter Biden, including a story we ran a couple of months ago that Hunter Biden was, let's say, entertaining a lady of the night and tried to pay for the services mm-hmm. with a debit card, which turned out to be connected to an account potentially of his father's, Joe Biden.
And meanwhile, New York Times says new price spike poses challenge to White House higher than forecast, lasting inflation feared as furniture, rent, and food soar. And yet Joe Biden, what is he doing? He's bought his son a hooker. That Hunter Biden goes and receives a wire transfer from the mayor of Moscow's wife. He goes and works with the Chinese Communist Party, 10% for the big man, as Tony Bobulinski said. Is Tony Bobulinski still alive, or have they removed that chess piece from the chessboard? I say that non-sarcastically, by the way. That guy courageously spoke out, and the whole media ignored it, and they memory-holed him. That thought crime, that is not allowed, because Tony Bobulinski told the truth about the Biden crime family. No one covered it, and now that cartel of criminals is now running our country. Now, what is Joe Biden doing? Despite buying hookers for his son, which was in the commingling of accounts, according to Miranda Devine, he's pushing for vaccines for children again. Cut 72.
Vaccinated when they are eligible. And I'm asking everyone who hasn't gotten vaccinated, please get vaccinated. That's how we put this pandemic behind us.
Keep saying the same thing over and over again. Alliance Defending Freedom, they need your help. They need your help to step up, to go to charliekirk.com and click on the ADF banner at the top of the page, where you can phone your gift to 888-670-1599. And look, what do? They come in heroically. They come in courageously. They come in quickly to support the people that are being abused and targeted by the, let's just call them bad folks. They're not good folks. And ADF steps up and supports them. So how do you support ADF? Well, it's tax deductible. You go to charliekirk.com, you click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. Look, these are Christians, these are patriots, they are lawyers engaging in lawfare that we need right now. It is about freedom of speech, it's about religious liberty. So go to charliekirk.com right now and click on the ADF banner. I think you're going to really appreciate supporting their great organization.
The laws of nature and nature's God. Thomas Jefferson wrote that in the Declaration of Independence, which was a perfect summary of the combination of reason and revelation that the founding fathers believed in, which is a defense of antiquity with a flair of enlightenment thinking, understanding that there are things that do not change. There are the laws of nature that is beyond just the laws of physics, and observing what Newton published, who, by the way, was a very devout Christian and wrote more about Christian prophecy of the book of Isaiah than he did about physics in the Principia Mathematica. Force equals mass times acceleration, and object at rest will stay at rest. And for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, the three great discoveries of Sir Isaac Newton. But when they wrote the laws of nature and nature's God, the founding fathers recognized that there is a certain harmony that governs the universe. There's a certain pattern for behavior. And we know this from the proper way that we must live. We derive this mostly from the Bible, from the teachings of the Levitical law in the Old Testament, and also the truths of the New Testament. There's also laws of economics. And put simply, wokeism, critical race theory, diversity, the diversity industrial complex, wokistan, whatever you want to call it, they have declared war on the natural law. In fact, they reject it. Friedrich Nietzsche wrote that God is dead. The wokesters write that the natural law is dead. Inflation, it's a construct. Telling the truth doesn't matter. Any truth? Not, it doesn't even exist. Men and women? No. Men can become pregnant. Now, all of this, if you go to a college campus, governs the laws of the insane. And if you send your child to college, they get to learn all this nonsense and go into debt while doing it, while wasting their precious and valuable time when they are the most energetic, aspirational, ambitious, and optimistic. But the one industry that has always bothered me that they've put up with the war on the laws of nature are the people that deal in objectivity. Obviously science, but they've decided to just become an anti-science operation. But also finance. It's either you're going to make money or not. You just can't all of a sudden say, hey, men can become pregnant and Lehman Brothers is solvent. Can't do that. It's either the money's in the bank account, it's either you're over-leveraged, or the truth is the truth. Now, just so you know, if you go to a college campus and you say that only women can become pregnant, it's a hate. It's a total hate crime. I think that should be the title of my speech at University of Vermont. But at CNBC, former Democrat Treasury Secretary has come out, Larry Summers, and you see these CNBC people going back and forth of like, hey, maybe the Federal Reserve and these bankers, maybe that we're pushing the laws of nature a little bit too far. Play cut 71.
I don't know if you guys heard what Larry Summers said. And keep in mind, this is a former Democratic Treasury Secretary saying he's never seen such a woke Federal Reserve, a bunch of bankers. The Federal Reserve bankers, he said, they're way too woke. We have a generation of central bankers who are defining themselves by their wokeness. They're defining themselves by how socially concerned they are. And he is really worried that inflation is going to get out of control.
And that's a new twist, because we don't actually spend a lot of time talking about the wokeism of central bankers. I think Larry Summers used to run Harvard University. I could be wrong about that. I'm pretty sure about that, right? And he's no fan of conservative populism. But he understands that, hey, I might not be a conservative, but I know that there are some guidelines that operate human behavior. You want to know what Fauci believes? You want to know what Biden believes? You want to know what Ron Klain believes? You want to know what Valerie Jarrett believes? You want to know what Janet Yellen believes? That the laws that have always governed the universe are mere inconveniences in the way of their power grab. In Genesis 11, it teaches us what happens when human beings think they can declare war on the natural law. It doesn't end well. The Tower of Babel ended in chaos, confusion, and the scattering of people. The laws of nature and nature's God are the way that we should govern ourselves and organize society. Yes, inflation is here. Yes, we're living in madness because we have leaders that do not observe things that have always been true. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, you could do so by going to charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.